Kate Lochte's back in studios with me and on the phone now. We have Steven Sanger. He's first mate on the Nina and the Pinta. They're coming to Green Turtle Bay Marina August 29th. Steven, thanks for being on Sounds Good today.
Hi, good to be here.
You know, Steven, I would bet that in every listener, in every listener, there's a yearning to have your job.
It is certainly unique.
I've been so fascinated about the Columbus Foundation and how these ships came about. The original plan was towards the 500th anniversary of the Columbus voyage, but it turned out that that wasn't a very big deal. Nonetheless, the Columbus Foundation went forward researching what those ships were like. Would you tell me the story of what ensued when the building started?
Well, the ships, the Nina was built first because it was Columbus's favorite ship, and the reason we had it built is mainly for the movie production 1492, which was filmed by Ridley Scott. And after the movie was produced, people around the United States, and especially in around Florida, because of the anniversary, they're asking, oh, can you bring the ships to this place, and to this place? And then it just picked up, and here we are 21 years later, traveled all the United States,
Stephen, we're having some reception trouble with your phone. Where are you now?
I'm in the Virgin Islands right now.
And I'm jealous.
Well, in researching the building of these vessels, they are Caravel Redondos. I was fascinated to learn that when the gentleman engaged to build the Pinta passed during that building process, and it was my impression that much of the plans were in the shipbuilder's head. Was that the case with this gentleman as well?
Well, this gentleman, he worked, John Patrick Starsfield. He was there during the construction of the Nina, and he was actually working in the Peace Corps down in Brazil. And then he discovered a group of shipwrights in Valença, Brazil, that were still using the same techniques that date back over 500 years. And then the Columbus Foundation hired him to go ahead and be the main man in the construction of the Nina. And unfortunately, he did die while the main mast was being delivered to the ship. He died in a car accident.
But he had obviously had created more plans than original builders who worked by their vision of the shape. Yes.
Yes, that's correct. But yeah, the ship itself was in the minds of the shipwright. The technique passed down through generations. It was eighth generation Portuguese shipwright. And then all the rigging in terms of how many master ships had, how much cargo they carried, how many men were on board, that was all documented in Columbus's logs.
Stephen, have these ships ever sailed the route that Columbus took?
No. But the Nina has logged about 400,000 miles, which is the original Nina only logged about 28,000. Under Columbus's hands, and he been to the Panama Canal 12 times, visited almost over 1,000 ports throughout the United States.
What's it like to sail these boats?
It's out in the ocean. You know, if it's rough, then they bob like a cork out in the ocean. But it's a very unpleasant ride if it is rough. But if it's not, and if we have a good wind, then it's quite a sight to see.
Now, I understand you have a slightly better situation in terms of being able to sleep below deck on the replicas when the first seaman had to sleep on deck.
That's correct. Yeah, all crew worked. They slept on the deck, but they had all their year's worth of supplies, including livestock, you know, goats, chickens, rabbits, horses, cows. So you don't want to sleep down there in the holds with all the animals.
And I understand the four-legged animals, the large ones, were in slings for the voyage.
That's correct, yeah. The horses and the cow, they were in slings. They wouldn't break their legs with the directing motion of the ship.
I think it's just inconceivable for most of us to imagine making the Atlantic in one of those things. Is it for you?
Not so much anymore. You know, I've been in some pretty rough seas on these ships, and they're very sturdy, you know.
Well, good for you. Hey, Tracy's son and he have been aboard the Nina, I believe, when you've been here before. Describe the experience when you dock at Green Turtle Bay Marina. What will we be able to do with you?
Well, we're tied up to the docks, and there was our gangways and both ships set up like floating museums, and people can come aboard, look around the ship, and learn information on board, and get a real first-hand experience of what life was like back in the day. And then also the crew member, myself, there's about 12 of us, will be information providers, will be tour guides, and just share our own experiences with you.
And I assume that these boats are immaculate. That's what I heard from Tracy, that you guys keep them up spick and span.
Yes, maintenance never stops. Yeah, but yeah, they are always ship-shaped.
Well, I think everyone's pretty excited about having you all back. What will the route be? Will you be at other places before you're with us, or tell us how you'll get here?
Currently, we're in Keokuk, Iowa. That's on the upper Mississippi, and we're going to take the Mississippi. We're going to leave here on the morning of the 22nd, and then we're going to head down the Mississippi till it meets the Ohio River. And then we'll take the Ohio River up to the Cumberland and then go down the Cumberland and then come out into Green Turtle Bay there.
So, okay, I haven't ever sailed on the Mississippi. What's that body of water like for a boat like you're going to be in?
Well, they nickname it the Money Mississippi, so you can't really see anything. But it's always hectic with the barge traffic, you know, and also hitting thick fog. You know, that's always our big issue with dealing with any river, but especially the Mississippi, especially when you got so much traffic and it's much wider, you got a lot more deadheads. There's a lot more things to look out for.
How do you make the big turn up the Ohio?
Well, you take a big turn. It's a very wide area there, but you got to do a big round turn, and then you can make it sucked down by the current a little bit, but then you just got to throttle down, like we do have diesel engines on board, throttle up, and head up the Ohio. And then the Ohio, there isn't a terrible amount of current going up the Ohio. You know, there's probably maybe 2 or 3 knots against us. We're on the Mississippi this year going against the current, especially with the flooding. We're only making about 2.5 mile an hour.
Do people honk and wave on the barges?
They sure do. Yep, sure do.
Sounds like fun. Stephen, thank you for answering the phone the second time, and we look forward to seeing you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Stephen Sanger is first mate for the Nina and the Pinta, and they'll be at Green Turtle Bay Marina Harbor in Grand Rivers the 29th through September 8th. They extended their stay. First, it was just going to be there for the Labor Day weekend Arts and Crafts Festival, but they're going to stay the rest of the week as well.
It really is a good time. I think I may go back this year.